Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brian. I'm here with Vince and Nino. Nino is from the Firm Clothing. He's kind of like a staple here in San Diego in the kind of extreme music scene, I think. He's also been the sponsor for Metal Swap Meet last year, and I appreciate that.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah. So, Nino, kind of just talk about yourself a little bit real quick.
Sure. So with me, like, I have a interesting background because I didn't have someone that, like, led me in this direction, like a cousin or an older brother or something like that. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I just found this, I don't know, I think I've always had this thing for, like, going against the grain. I've always loved music a lot. With me and my age range being, like, about to be 39, I was in the, like, period of, like, the mid-90s where it was, like, music and like band church were like the biggest thing, and that's how you identified and that's how you showed like your allegiance to a certain type of thing, and that kind of just grew. I was born in Boston. Both my parents are not from America, so like my father's from Italy, my mother's from Puerto Rico, and they just got their own thing going on. And with them, at five, my mom remarried and moved here. So I had this lucky thing during like this golden period kind of here and in Boston where I could go to like two different scenes all year long, like back and forth. They always say you're bi-coastal. You live in both places until it's like 13. Then I moved here full time. But music is just this thing that it's in my DNA. I don't know how to explain it. Like I love, like the Firm is, it started as a clothing line and then it turned into more of now it's really more promotions. I'm actually making like a hard turn more towards the promotion thing. Clothing lines are cool. They're just really hard to do. They take a lot of time. They take a lot of work. You need a team. I'm married with two kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old. I can't just bounce off and go all over the country and do this stuff. So when I, after COVID, because I started this like a couple months before COVID, I was like, all right, well, obviously, like, being at these events is a very obvious, important, big thing with this. Is the thing that we couldn't do during COVID, so you had to focus on the social media promotions and running, like, those kind of avenues and whatnot. And initially, I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to book a show, because if you do a show with certain bands, it's kind of like, I'll fill this room with 200 people that kind of fit into what I do with my clothing line, and you know, that's the idea. Then they'll be into it. They'll see it. I'll brand. I'll reach the market. I'll have, like, I'll have a good time. You know, I'll do some fun stuff. But what inspired, like, the whole thing of doing that kind of, like, vendor/concert thing was your guys' deal, man. 100%. You know I've been super into it for a long time, and I think it's super cool. And I absolutely love the San Diego Metal Swap Meet. I wish I had the balls to have done it this year and done it like that. And, you know, hopefully I get there. But yeah, with the company, with what I'm trying to do, it's definitely very similar. We're both like trying to like carry on for heavy music. We're trying to do it like not just once, just forget about it and give up, or you know, whatever. We know we got to build. We know we got to do this thing for our scene. So it's very similar, and just 100% like not kissing your ass like because I'm on this thing, whatever. You know, it's definitely an influence to me how I do this, because I'm influenced by people that like do cool shit that I want to do. I'm not influenced by like, I don't know, Bill Gates or whatever, or like some other type of way. My way is like, that's awesome. I love what they're doing, and they're not doing it the wrong way. Because people do shit, but they do it the wrong way. And that's not like,
or for the wrong reasons or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's a big, big thing. So it's like seeing people doing it the right way for the right reason and put in the time and quality and effort to make it done correctly. That's my influence. And so without a doubt, like this thing is heavily influenced by that, the SummerSlam thing, and just overall, the Firm in general. But this whole thing's just built off of love for heavy music. And there's a tattoo vibe into it. Like, this thing was going to be a tattoo shop, but COVID COVID stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't, you know. But it was cool. I got to learn other ways to do other things. And eventually, I just took my time to realize, like, what do I want to do with the Firm? And now it's more about, like, bringing awesome shows to San Diego, and of all genres. Like I love metal, I love hardcore, I love punk. There's obviously a million subgenres of the three. So it's a cool opportunity. People are excited. I couldn't wait to go to shows again. Seems like a lot of the initial shows were really metal. I mean, my first show from COVID was, I think it was that Deicide show at Brick, and then Or maybe it was Skeletal for Me. I can't remember.
That was one of the first I remember. Mm-hmm. The first tours I heard of.
I was right on. I was like, boom, let's go. That's what's happening. Let's do it. And then I think I got so excited with it. And I was so kind of trying to still figure out, because I had like a situation with the firm where like ex-business partner didn't go the direction. We just saw different things, and it is what it is. So I took on the responsibility of doing this whole thing on my own, and I'm going to do it on my own. I don't got to answer no one. I'm just doing my own way, whatever I want to do. And I think we're similar. We're just like, this is how we want to do our shit. We're not doing it any other way. We're just going to do it our way, and we're going to stick to it. And, you know, this is great for the city, and it's great for our scene, and it's bringing it, you know.
You mentioned SummerSlam. That's an event you have coming up. Maybe you could talk more about that?
Yeah, SummerSlam is it's essentially a two-day music festival. It's at Corazon del Barrio. The first day is technically a pre-show. It's on the 18th of August. And then the second day is the big main show for SummerSlam, and that's on the 19th of August. It's an old ages show. It's full bar with ID, like vendors, merch, like very similar, you know, like it's Corazon's connected to Salud Tacos, so you get Salud food as well. It's like a 12-hour event, almost 11 hours, something like that.
And that's in Barrio Logan?
Mm-hmm. Right on Logan.
And if you're not familiar with Barrio Logan, it's kind of the most culture you're going to find in this county, I think.
Yeah, it is. And like the people that own it and run it and the family, they're super awesome. It's great working with awesome people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you're doing a really awesome thing that you're really passionate about, but it's in like, it's kind of like how I felt like before. It's like, but it was in like, I felt corporate about it. It just didn't fully like fit in my thing. Cause my thing is, I started booking shows when I was like 12. You know, so I'm like, I like doing the DIY old school grind. You know, mm-hmm. It's just the only way I know how to do it. And that's how I like to do it. So, but those guys are, they're very nice. They're very helpful. Just the whole setup there, it's amazing. And it's a new place for San Diego. We haven't had a venue like that for a long time, where like an independent promoter can do something. And if they, let's say like this thing just is a bust, I'm not going to like eat like thousands and thousands of dollars and be done for. Like I can remain maybe to live the next day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the idea with SummerSlam is all different types of like of hardcore. It's gone to split off to so many different ways, where if you look at SummerSlam, I mean, the first day there's eight the first day, and we're at 18 with the 19th about to be a ninth to be announced, excuse me, for the 19th. Every flavor's in there, man. Like if you love metal, if you love like true traditional hardcore, if you love like the newer beatdown type hardcore stuff, if you love just like the old school legendary stuff like Strife. I mean, Strife's one of my favorite bands. It's 1997.
Oh my God.
It's a trip to me to be doing this. It's crazy to me that this is happening. It's awesome
that they're still going.
And they're like, they were the coolest people to work with. Particularly
that's
kind of
what
Blunt.
I've noticed is the veterans, like, they know what they want. And then, okay, that's cool. Like, they list the things. There's no surprises. And sometimes, like, we have trouble sometimes with the small local bands that are like, they kind of like make last minute changes and all this stuff. It's like, what's up with that? We're just go up there and play.
Yeah, totally. No, with those guys, like, I still can't believe, like, it's a trip to be having like my favorite bands. Some of like a lot of these bands, like, there's been such an explosion of awesome hardcore since that pandemic time. You know, 2020, there was just all this new stuff that kind of flew in. I don't know, maybe, like some stuff was there like a couple years before, but yeah, a lot of stuff changed since then, and a lot of new bands that are just so awesome. And then, you know, when you combine that, because sometimes you see hardcore or you see certain fests where they just stick to one brand and, you know, one flavor and that's it, where this is like everything. We can bring in like that, the newer bands like the Dead Heats or the Tyrannus, the ones that just blew up like in this last like 3-4 year, but then you still got the Strife, you know, and then you can throw in a crazy curveball like 16 with some sludge metal, like relapse style, and, you know, all types of different things going on in there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Real quickly, you could kind of just...
What are some of the other bands? Yeah,
I mean, I'll put up the flyer in front of us to give you guys a break from looking at us, but just quickly, some of the bands, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so with the pre-show, the Runts, which is, this is their last year, they're done, I think, in like right after the New Year's. This might be their last San Diego show. There's, when you buy tickets, like the thing with SummerSlam is, I don't know if everyone realizes it, at least we're doing a bigger blast, or I'm doing a bigger blast on it now. you buy a ticket for SummerSlam, you also get a ticket for the pre-show. And the pre-show is awesome. Or you can buy a solo ticket just for the pre-show. But it starts with the runs, and then Mongo headlining it. I believe we're going to be doing this really cool wrestling. That's a newer thing that's popping off in the shows, is having wrestling evolved with it. And it's just cool. I don't know what's bad about it, you know?
Yeah.
So if it doesn't happen there, it'll happen
at the wrestling soon. Like, are the bands going to be playing while the wrestling's happening?
I would love that.
That'd be kind of cool.
So I guess
it might be a little chaotic, though.
Yeah, I don't know, like, how many people will get injured during that. Like, no one survived. Like, yeah. All your shows are done. All right. No, it's in between.
Yeah.
So in between bands, you know, kind of towards the end, they'll just kind of, if you have a ring, they'll do that. Otherwise, it'll be like in the pit, and it'll just be a fun new thing. Mm-hmm. But with it, yeah, like, starting with the pre-show, you got, like, Mongo is basically a death metal band that just has hardcore breakdowns. A lot of this is...
There's so a lot fun. Of that right now.
Oh, yeah. There's so much... There's more metal influence in the hardcore now than anything. Mm-hmm. There is some hardcore bands that are doing, like... That aren't doing... They're more of kind of, like, following this alternative rock, like, kind of, like, grunge influence with the hardcore mix into it. But with me on this, I stayed more on the heavier side. Mm-hmm. Like,
or thrash. There's a lot of thrash in hardcore right now. Yeah. Like Drain?
Yeah. Drain's basically a thrash, you know, hardcore band. But yeah, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of those guys are. But then you see like a Scowl where it's like they're kind of more on the alternative rock side of the hardcore thing, you know? Yeah. So I just personally gear more towards the heavier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything against Scowl and those other bands, but
yeah,
like when you look at it, Barrio Slam's like an awesome Chicano hardcore band, but they bring those heavy new breakdowns that you didn't hear as much like back in the day, but you can tell their influence. I always got to make sure I got my local bands on it, so like Inner Vision, just a classic good hardcore punk rock band. You know you're gonna see a good Circle Pit, Rival Squad. They're more on that hardcore punk, but with the crust influence.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted, like I said, every kind of flavor in there. So with the pre-show, you hit a bunch of that, and then with the main show, it's just it's wild, you know.
And the main show is only that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a big lineup for Saturday.
Yeah, it took a lot of planning.
Does it start at like noon?
Starts out well, 1 p.m. doors, then 1:30 band.
Okay,
and then we just start. I got like 10-minute. In betweens for a while into that thing.
That's quick change outs.
Yeah, so I'm lucky that I was able to like
backline it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
backline it really well. Get a really good stage manager, a guy that's really well versed in this, and have a good team. I stopped the firm in like March to figure out the best way I wanted to do it and run it, and what exactly was my vision. Because once I saw the clothing line, the true vision to success, and I'm like, I can't do that. But I can do this, and this is awesome for my scene, and this is a show I would love to go to 1,000 times over again. Like, every band on it, I think, is awesome. You could take 4 from anyone and throw them on a show, and you would have a banger.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of lost my train of thought for a second. Where are we going again with this?
What's about
the main day? On the main day... maybe kind of go down the lineup real quick.
Sure, yeah. So it's got like kind of like a 3-tier to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it kind of ended up happening that way. So like when you start it off, you first start with like, we got about 7, like we got in that first kind of tier, I call it, Legions, Nowhere Safe, Systematic Abuse, Cinder Block, California, Dispersed, and 97 Minutes. Those are all awesome bands that are like the lifeline of this scene. Nowhere Safe is also part of Slow Death Promotions, which they throw shows like every other weekend. They are literally like the lifeline of like the underground hardcore punk rock, particularly hardcore scene. They do a lot of heavier shows too as well, so it's really important to have them involved and, you know, keep as much as we can in. And with that first group though, it's just like every band is awesome, and they're sonically all different. They're not like, it's not like a cookie cutter. Like sometimes I see shows, I'm like, they're all kind of like the same band, you know. It's just a little bit different. Where all these bands are like completely different. You look
cool. So they'll stand out when you see two bands back to back.
Yeah. Like if you want to, like I've been to certain shows where it's just it's like the same thing over and over again, and you're like, all right, you know, it would have been a little nicer if it changed up or if you felt something different. Kind of like I really am influenced by the crossover shows that used to happen back in the day, like the nostalgic like the Napalm Death, Sick of It All, you know, Clash of the Titans type shows, or New Kids, I think it was called New Kids on the Block, that one, whatever it was. But I mean, they just did a Clash of Titans in St. Abel, you know. I love that. I love mixing up and mashing it. You look at bands like Legions, where that's like a, it's like a metal core, but more on the metal side, beat down. Like, it's just heavy as heavy can be. And then you go to a Dispersed, where it's more like a San Diego Snapcase. Like a totally different style, totally different flavor. You look at a Systematic Abuse, just a long time hardcore punk band, just straight like Discharge, SSD kind of style, Broken Bones kind of style, just as classic as can be. Where then Nowhere Safe's more of that thrash core kind of element. Cinderblock, I think they just combine really everything. It's they got just brutal breakdowns. They have probably the coolest intro I've heard in a long time. This song is called Look At It Closely. When you pull them up, this is all available if you want to check it out on Spotify. There's a playlist. There's a link to it on both Instagrams. The new Instagram, by the way, is the.firm.sd, and the other one is just for this event in particular, summer_slam_sd. I'll have a website up pretty soon. Should be up in the next week. It's thefirm1904.com, where you'll have access to all this stuff. You can get to the playlist and hear all the bands we're talking about.
And you have to specify SummerSlam SD so Vince McMahon doesn't come.
I literally, I was literally like, I wonder where this stops, or like, when am I getting a cease and desist?
Right.
And I would gladly frame it and put it like in a thing. You know, it'd be really cool. The SummerSlam thing, it was just the name. I don't know how. I think the Slam thing kept coming up. The
Slam makes sense. Yeah.
The Slam makes sense. We got the Slam Diego thing going on now. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I was like, it sounds cool. It sounds catchy. I came up with this cool logo for it, and it kind of fits the whole bill. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of slamming and a lot of that's been going on. But with these bands, yeah, with that first tier, it's just heavy and fast, and it's one of those things where it's like you'll probably get those viral kind of videos. Mm-hmm. And then that second tier where you got bands like Doc Hammer, you know, 16, Burthole City, Skullcrack. Violencia is now playing the show. You got like a whole different kind of Mortar Pride, Count Time, more of that traditional, faster, hardcore, but still with the breakdowns and everything like that. Having Doc Hammer and 16 on it was important. Doc Hammer was like one of the bands from the get-go that was in my original kind of list of like bands that really wanted to get on this to make sure it happened right. They just bring a lot of good energy. You know, they've played for me before. They bring a lot of good energy. They played a show with me before with Skullcrack, who, it's funny, they're like, they always want to play with each other, but they're totally kind of different to me, which I think is awesome. You know, Skullcrack,
they got more of that. They kind of compliment each other somehow? Yeah.
Somehow. It works. Like, it's either that, or Doc Hammer wants to play Thumb, or they play a lot with 16, where again, it's like, somehow it's like they counter, but they mesh well together.
Could be friends, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like to hang out, yeah.
Definitely. So it was fun how to, everything came together, because a lot of bands actually asked to be on this. Mm-hmm. Like, once the initial kind of wave came out, then there's a lot of bands that asked. I wanted to do another day. This day was supposed to be that, but I'm like, it has to be equivalent to like SummerSlam, to the 19th.
That would kill you. That's so much work.
Yeah, it already is. I can't believe how much work I put in, and it's been like, I'm still, you know, a month and a half away, and it's been, 4 months or 5 months of just grinding on this thing. It's like an everyday type deal.
Yeah. So what's the date on it? Or no, have you gone through all the bands yet? You still have another tier.
So yeah, so now there's like kind of like another tier where you got just bands. It just happened where like when they agreed to be on it, all of a sudden they just blew up to like a whole other level. Like Dead Heat was already there, but then next thing you knew, they're on every single music fest. That's like
Dead Heat's like a thrash band.
Yeah, they're like the like a real true like crossover. Just they're pretty much a thrash band.
And they're putting out an EP. I saw like next month, so it'll be, I think in August they're putting out an EP.
Yeah, they just put out a new single, which is killer. And then yeah, so they got that coming out, and they're just on like every festival, and then they hit this, and I'm like, it just lined up perfectly. And then like Tyrannus is, everyone's obsessed with them, you know. I don't think they can play enough shows right now. This Madre, same thing. And then Take Offense just kind of got another band member where they can do a lot more shows. I just saw them on on Sunday with Mind Force.
Oh,
did
wow.
an insane show. It was such a great set, and people were going nuts. And yeah, they were definitely a big help for this. It's when people see that name, they know, like, all right, this is going to be something. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's at least we're playing with, like, some fun bands. And, you know, they're mutual friends with a lot of people. And Strife, I just was one I'd been working on for, oh, man. I've been trying to get Strife down here since we could do shows again. And
is Strife an exclusive show?
I'm sorry?
Is that an exclusive show?
No, they just headline it. And they, you know, just getting them on this bill was different than how I got everyone else on the bill.
Well, but I mean, is Strife like on a tour, or are you? Is oh no, this, yeah. This one is off. Just a one-off for them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, I gotta end it. Like, how do you end that show? You know, once you get to that point, like, who ends it? You gotta have the OGs there.
Strife is they put in their time. That's for sure. Oh,
30 years. 30 years. I bought Victory 2 in 1997. I remember very well. My mom lived on the east end of PB, and so I used to have to skateboard and. Kind of like up on like the hill, so it was a mission, like Mount Soledad, like on the bottom half. Either way, mm-hmm. So I remember just skating down Garnet, and like it was 97. Yeah, I bought two CDs on Garnet that day. I bought Victory 2, and I bought GBH, and I've been obsessed with particularly Strife since that day. Like one of my favorite bands since that day, and then yeah, obviously GBH. I was already a fan of GBH, but back then. The way I kind of was like, how do I discover more bands at once? Because the rabbit mm-hmm. hole takes a long time. If you can't get a good record shop, hopefully you can find a good comp.
Yeah,
That comp introduced me a lot of stuff, and then particularly Strife. And it's funny because, like, I think it was that summer or next summer, I went to go see them for the first time because I was always going back and forth between there and Boston where I'd go to all the same shows just in the Boston version. Mm-hmm. But I went to go see them, and they broke up the day before. Remember Showcase in Washington Ave?
Yeah, Old Town.
Yeah. I went to go see them. They're like, yeah, they broke up. That's what they told me. Like, they broke up yesterday. I'm like, no way. And so I missed, you know, I didn't get to see them obviously then. And it took me, I didn't see them a bunch of times. And then, like, even recently, I when were they here? Like, a year or two before pandemic, they played with Hatebreed.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to get out of work as fast as I could. And I saw, like, the lineup, the way it looked like on the, that's how you kind of look at the shows. Like, the way it's kind of placed. On the flyer, maybe indicates, you know, that's it usually does somewhat. I was like, oh man, it looks like they're playing early, but I don't know if they would put them on that early. Let me figure it out. Just missed them by like a minute. Even just recently, I bought some really cool, like, limited edition Strife gear, just disappeared out of my life. It's been like this weird thing where I think it's just been meant to be that, like, it's got to be kind of fucky up until now. And then this will be like the perfect moment in the middle of August. in this arena.
Oh, what's up, everybody? We took a little break, recharged the batteries a little bit, and we are back. So, you know, maybe kind of wrap up SummerSlam. So what are the dates? Where is it? And where can we buy tickets?
Yeah, so 8:18 pre-show, 8:19 is the actual SummerSlam event. Just remember, when you buy tickets for SummerSlam, you automatically get a ticket for the pre-show. So it's not like... It's not a one thing. It's you get two shows for the price of one. It's just the pre-show is the first 150 people that show up with actual SummerSlam tickets, like pre-bought. Then you get in for free. It's that easy. You just got to get there early. So don't show up at 11 o'clock at night complaining that you didn't get in for free. The show starts at, well, the doors are at 5 p.m. So bands will start by 6 p.m. For the pre-show on the 18th. So you want to make sure you get there early. You get your spot. You're good to go. To get the tickets, though, you can go to... Well, it will be up in the next week, I believe. But, again, thefirm1904.com. Otherwise, Till 2 Club, Corazon Del Barrio, either their website or their social media, the.firm.sd. Our link tree is right there where you can pick up tickets for this show or any of the other Firm shows. Same thing with the SummerSlam Instagram of summer_slam_sd. I can't believe I remembered all those. That was pretty
good. That's pretty good. Especially we're a few beers in, to be honest. You know. But we're pros.
We're good at this. Yeah
we're pros.
All the bands pretty much got on their stuff. If you have any questions, you can always DM the social media. I'm always the person that's responding, whatnot. But the other thing that a lot of people realize is there's only 350 tickets right now available. So that's not a lot, you know, and it's been on sale for a while now. So you got to get your tickets ASAP.
It sounds like it's going to sell out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the consensus. I hope I mean, that's, we want to put San Diego on the map. We want to make this amazing show, this amazing moment, and it rolls into everything else. There is solo tickets just for the pre-show for the people that want to go just to that or what may be, but this is also the beginning to everything else. So there is about a dozen shows, amazing, like huge shows that go on from here to the end of the year. So just make sure you follow the firm and you'll see all that stuff on there and whatnot. But it's going to be awesome. Can't wait. And any questions, like I said, please, just the easiest thing to do is just DM the.firm.sd and I'll get right back to you and let you know what you guys, you know, whatever I can do.
Yeah, the firm, I just checked your social media today. And we're not gonna go into it because it's a lot. We've already covered a lot, but you have a lot of shows coming up. Yeah. So if you're interested in this stuff that he's putting out, check out his social media because there's more to come. This SummerSlam is a big thing. Obviously, it's Strife headlining, but there is other stuff coming up. So just check it out. We might cover that in a later episode.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is for this to be the biggest hardcore event. And one of the biggest shows like we've ever had for San Diego, and for this to put us on the map and get us like what we need to be, which is put in that same category with like Southern California. Southern California is the mecca for heavy fucking music, whether it's punk rock, whether it's hardcore, whether it's metal, whatever it may be. This isn't Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, San Diego is not 4,000 miles away from LA and from, you know, Orange County. We're right there. So it's just, it's this time we get our proper and we do this thing right. And, you know, come out, have fun, support it. It's all about the scene. It's all about doing stuff like this and everyone working together and just doing it consistent and having fun and just showing people like San Diego goes off. We have amazing music. We got awesome shows coming and we got more. So that's the idea.
And it's all ages, so you don't get many all ages shows. With
this. Yeah, you got all ages. Stuff. You got 21 plus for people that want to go to the bar. You got food so you don't have to leave. And it's also really good food from Salud Tacos. You got merch. You got space. You got indoor outs. You know, everything's there, so everyone wins. It's a good time.
Nino, I have a question for you. Kind of like, I'm a metal guy, but I don't have a ton of exposure to the hardcore scene. I know you have exposure to both. How would you describe like the hardcore scene in San Diego at this moment?
San Diego is it's growing, and there's a lot of stuff going on. It's good, but it can be better. And I think we can say that about every single genre of our scene. You know, it's good, but it can be better. We're not a tiny little town with not enough people with, you know, like I said, so far where we can't, like, get in to the circuit, you know. I like to describe it as, like, a sleeping giant currently. But hopefully by the end of this year, it's no longer sleeping. And it's just a giant and people know, like, you don't skip us anymore. You don't start in Orange County LA anymore and then go up from there, like, you know to come to San Diego. You know it's going to be an awesome show. That's kind of like how I try to look at it. It's like there's an opportunity right now to be had. And if no one else is going to seize it, I'm going to seize it. And I'm going to do everything I can to put my city on the map and do this thing the right way.
I think that's awesome. What are some of the local bands in that scene that you would recommend people like me that don't know a lot about it check out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of music and there's a lot of people coming out quickly. The bands that have been around, though, there's some bands that have been around for a good 10 years that are just, they're awesome. You know, they just haven't had that exposure for multiple different reasons. It could be you have kids, you have wives, you have jobs, you can't just quit them and bounce, whatever. But the bands, like, that I think from San Diego that I think will be the... that should be at least the next thing, or I could be like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're on a Hatebreed tour, if they're on a Turnstile tour, like a, I mean, a lot of them from this, like Dockhammer, you know, that's a band. Like if someone told me a year from now they're touring with Turnstile, I'd be like, yeah, I can see that 100%. That is a band that fully fits it. They put in the work, they're professionals. They do the whole thing. They got the sound, they got the presence, they got the attitude, you know, where other bands like Nowhere Safe or like Legions, I'm like, dude, you guys could be easily opening up for like a Knock Loose or for like a Terror on like some big tour. I'm like, you got to have like that moment, you know? But, and it's funny cause like, they're all different styles, you know? I think from all those bands, I think the one I really think is going to pop off the quickest in San Diego right now, probably Mongrel. Mongrel's like, They're heavy. They're dope. Everyone loves them. I can see them being picked up and put on some really, really cool shit and moving pretty fast. Like if you look them up on Spotify right now, they got, like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 songs. But there's going to be obviously a lot more. They got, like, a certain thing to them, and I can see that band. I wouldn't be surprised if this point next year, that's, like, the dead heat of the summer, the band that's on everything. I saw them just get put on a big New York 2-day show in October. It's weird. I don't know. It's like everything's a fest now. Like, mm-hmm. I try to make a point, and I call it SummerSlam Fest because everything's like a fest. It's like almost like cliche.
Yeah.
But whether it's a fest or just an awesome 2-day show, usually don't fly bands out from San Diego to New York to play with, like, Mad Balls and stuff like that unless you know they're coming up. You know it's their time. So I would say, like, there's so many great bands. I could kind of go on forever about all the awesome San Diego bands. But for these ones that in particular, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's someone else that pops off, though. So it's awesome. Yeah, we got a lot of really good music, and they're amazing musicians, too. So
it's cool to see you take so much pride in, you know, what's going on here in San Diego. I don't know, because we've kind of done that with the Metal Swap Meet. We try to have local bands, but it's also local creators of any kind. So I will let you know that, like, I kind of appreciate what you do. And maybe it's not a scene I know a ton about, but honestly, like, it's a scene I could definitely see myself enjoying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. No, yeah, it's got a flavor for everyone right now. So there's, like, whatever you're into, like, you go to that show, you're going to find a band, like, oh, man, I'm super into this, and that's, you're going to be listening to it for a long time. But, yeah, I'm definitely very passionate about this. This is, like, that thing where it's, like, I don't know. I feel like everyone's got their thing. Some people, they just, like, they've been molding clay bowls their whole life. That's their thing. Or some people's things are, like, growing plants or whatever. My thing is music and going to concerts. Most time I go by myself just because, like, I feel like I'm, like, half my friends I'm dragging out. A lot of my friends, like, they're not into stuff. A lot of my friends are into, like, just another lifestyle that I used to be into, which is not probably the most positive one. Like, I just, you know, this is something where it's, like, I can go here and get away. It's really like therapy for me. I just get this thing where, like, even my wife, who, like, she's nothing about this. She knows nothing about this scene. This is not her thing at all in any way, shape, or form. But when she, like, when I'm like, I'm going to go to this concert, and she'll somehow, like, just from my t-shirts or from, like, whatever, she'll know, like, I like that band a lot. She won't even argue with me about it. She just knows, like, that's your thing. That's, like, something that's in your DNA that, like, you just got, and I'm not even going to fight it. Like, you love this thing, go do it. And
yeah, you should be supportive of it, right?
Yeah, God forbid, you know?
Well, and also she probably knows that
makes you happy.
The enjoyment you walk away from, you probably have this glow from going to a show that lasts for days or weeks.
When we started dating, it was right when... So, like, the first show, I think, like, the first real... Well, I took her to, like, a Bad Religion show, but, like, the first, like, big show that she knew was, like, a big deal for me was the Misfit Reunion show in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The one at Riot Fest in 2016. Like, within a week or two of us dating, I went to a Misfit show at House of Blues in downtown San Diego where it was the Jerry Misfit.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew I was super excited about it. Like, she sees my tattoos and my posters, whatever, like... she knew that it was, like, something special for me, and she saw me get excited about it. But then when we went to go to that one, like, that was arguably the most important concert of my life. Like, I have been obsessed with the Misfits since I was 11. That was, like, in my starter pack, you know, of bands, like that 10, 11 year.
How much did you cry at the show?
It was the goosebumps and, like,
I don't say that in a bad way because
it's
emotional. Yeah,
it was a natural high that I've never experienced, and it lasted for days. It wasn't like I go to shows sometimes, and, like, that night I'm just like, God, that was such a good fucking show. Like, the Mind Force show I just went to, I'm like, dude, those guys are fucking good, man. I can't stop fucking playing them. I think, you know, the world of them, but, like, I know, like, you know, that there was just a different thing, like that Misfit show in particular. And when she saw, like, how I reacted to it, we actually got to go, like, my friend works for Doyle, so we actually had to go backstage and, like, hang out with them, and She saw me actually get shy. They were like, dude, go talk to Doyle right now. He's there with Jerry. Like, he's just standing there. They're standing there. Like, go talk to him. I'm like, no, I can't. I'm like, I literally was like a little baby. And she's like, how are you, this big guy? And she hears all this shit about me. She's like, and you're scared to go talk to these adults? She's like, this is crazy. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this has been like my band. Like, I've been obsessed with their music since I was a kid. Like, it's just, every time I listen to their song, it's like the first time I heard it. It's one of those things I can't change. And she just sees this thing and she's like, man, you really do have like this love and you really do want to do this. And she's cool. She's like, supports me on it. Like, most, you know, anything else, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be gone. Like, I got to leave on a Friday night and I'm going to be gone all night. It's in a bar and there's all these different things. I grew up working in a bar. She's not always going to be super cool about it. But if it's this, but it's at a bar or an old ages venue that also has a bar, whatever, you know, she's just like, good for you. This is awesome that you're doing it. Doing something that you love, that ain't work. You know, that's to me, and she knows I consider that success. Like, having my other businesses, I really love doing that. My businesses gave me the inspiration to do this. Seeing guys like you guys doing your thing gave me inspiration to do this. So she knows it's like, it's a love. And it's there's no price on it. I don't care if I don't make a dollar. It's cool if the city wins and the scene wins.
From my point of view, I don't, like, in all honesty, I don't know him very well. Like, this is the most we've talked, like, ever. But I really do admire your passion.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's something you know, you can see when people are passionate. I can see it on you. And not only the way you speak, but the actions you've taken. So, I wish there was more people like you.
I mean, I think there is. I think there's always just someone that needs to, like, be the one, be like, you know, fuck it, I'll do it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least I tried. Exactly, you know, yeah. At least I fucking tried. And if anything, some people had a good time. I had a good time. You know, if for whatever reason, let's say SummerSlam, just it ends up being a bust. You know, at least I tried. And whoever was there had a great fucking time. And I booked fucking Strife and like 18 other bands that I love. I can't complain.
Yeah.
You know, life's good. And when you're a parent too, you want to be like an example.
Sure.
So like with my kids, like they know I'm doing something that I'm like into and they know there's this thing happening. But when they get older and they're like, dude, you just went off and did that.
You followed your passion.
Yeah. I want them to be like, cool. Then that's my example to them to be like, no, you go follow your shit. Whatever you want to do, go do it. This is my example. My example may not be the same as yours. Maybe yours is art. If that's your fucking passion, go take it and do it. And do it like to the fullest. Don't do like a little shitty one. Do it big. Do as badass as you can. And then the next one you do, hopefully you're bigger. Bigger, grow. You know, it's a business mindset. It's a mindset business in terms of like, you shouldn't be satisfied with like just doing enough to get by. You should do the best you can and work the hardest you can to make the best possible thing. Mm-hmm. In this sense, it's kind of like that, but it's also like we're putting on music the best way we can, reaching out to bands that normally are never here.
Well, one thing I like about it, I'm sorry to interrupt, mm-hmm. your lineup is stuff that you like, mm-hmm. right?
Not one band on there. So there's bands that I turned down that
you're not really thinking so much about popularity.
No, I don't give a fuck about that.
So this is a show, a big show, curated by you, and I think that's pretty cool because, you know, I don't know, like that's not a promoter mindset where you're trying to look for the biggest ticket sales and stuff.
Yeah, no, totally. It's that is like as I get into this changing from clothing to promotions, now you see like, wow, a lot of you guys actually don't like any of this shit, or like this is just a paycheck, or you're just booking this band to because you know you can charge that much more or whatever. Yeah, 100%. There's bands that I turned down that would have brought more. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one really big one that was just like, yeah, you know, it just, my thing's going a certain way. I don't
see. I think it was Metallica. It was Metallica, but we're not gonna name names.
I'll tell you the name afterwards. You'll trip because that reference okay, is a trip.
Okay, all right.
But no, yeah, it's just different things.
I'll leak that on a later episode.
Yeah, no, this is definitely like, I don't know if it's selfish. I don't know. No, I wanted to see this show. I didn't want to see another show. I wanted to do these shows.
Sometimes you do it for the right reasons.
Well, but plus it's like, I don't know. This feels like a bucket list thing for you.
Oh, to say the least. To say the least. I've been brewing this probably since I was 10 years old.
So it's going to feel good. And this show is going to be, SummerSlam is going to be a success. And I hope you reap all the rewards that you should for it. Because it's doing a lot for the scene here in San Diego.
That's really the biggest thing. That's all I want. I don't want us to be, our scene to grow. I want everyone to come up, you know, and everyone to win. You know, this, like when I do this, I want the bar to win. I want Salute to win. I want all the bands to win. No one's going to worry about shit. Like when I book my shows, I pay everyone out before they even play. So no one's coming in here thinking like there's some bullshit. I'm a very like go up and beyond. And I think that creates just a very, I don't know, comfortable environment where people are like, they're excited to come back and play.
Absolutely.
It's not like they're being forced to come back or they're only coming back here for a paycheck. They're coming back because they just had an awesome show. San Diego went off. They're like, oh shit, we didn't realize San Diego was going like that. But now it's going off proper. We're going there all the time. Now we don't, you know, have to be like forced to come out because Nino won't leave us the fuck alone. You know, now it's like fucking, we're hitting him up to go. And it actually is happening, you know, with the amount of shows that have come. A lot of them have now been like people kind of hitting me up to be that dude to do these things. And there was definitely a hole in San Diego for a lot of like the independent promoters. A lot of people are just talent buyers for, you know, the bars and stuff like that and their clubs. And that's how that works. But if you look at like most major cities, you know, looking like in LA or, you know, even IE, OC, you know, they all have like good amount of like independent promoters that like try to do stuff like this all the time.
Where independent people can book a show.
Mm-hmm. And now we can, now it's like, I'll be that person that'll go out, I'll put my money out there and I'll just do it. And if there's, you can make more money, you know. But we'll, you know, if that happens, if let's say you lose, then you lose. At my last show, I lost horribly. It was a horrible fail. To everyone listening to shit, like, My last show, it just, I mean, there's a combination of like rain and San Diego, which is always a bad thing for anyone. And then, I mean, I've been running bars forever. The second it rains, everyone loses.
Metal Swap Meets lost before on certain years.
Yeah, I mean, the last one it rained a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the rain just does its thing. And then you also got like 3-4 other shows.
Yeah.
Well, with
or,
me,
or
my
just like you just one. don't do your math right. Which is one year we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. You, making mistakes and learning from them, no matter where it is, whether it's in life,
you have to learn from them. That's the thing.
It's you. I think you have to make mistakes to learn. Like I,
if you don't learn from it, then you're doing something wrong.
Because it doesn't. Then it's just because if you make a mistake and it doesn't hurt, you're not going to remember that mistake.
Yeah, 100%. Like I think the last like show where I realized like, I gotta just go all in, you know. Fuck this, not going all in or just tiptoeing around bullshit. I'm gonna go all in, and then I'm, you know, that's why there's a strife on that. That's why there's a pre-show. That's why there's like all these other things that come together. Go all in, do it, and then, I mean, San Diego is not a place where it's like, no matter what you do, it's not gonna go off. Like it's if you build it, they will come. But San Diego just needs more people focusing on building it. And I would always love to help anyone else that wants to bring shows here, that wants to do like promotions and that kind of stuff. I work with another promotion company, Slow Death, just to like do cool shit together because it's all for our scene. It's not to go against each other.
Yeah.
It's to go with each
work
other.
Work together, yeah.
Like when I see dope shows in San Diego, I promote them on my own social media for the firm. It's not my show. And you guys do it too.
Sure.
You don't just promote, and that's I think it's awesome. You don't just promote like your things and that's it. You promote everything cool that's happening in San Diego, so people know about it. So we have our scene grows, and that's definitely like a big part of this thing. You know, it's getting the scene up to standard, and we have everything that everyone wants. So it's time to go and time to do it. So it's gonna be a fun year. It's gonna be fun, like from August 18th to the end of the year. I mean, I'll have everything up soon. There's a lot of them that are already up there, but a lot of them aren't. It's gonna be really fun, and it's gonna be really cool to see like where this goes and how this does for the scene. You know. Yeah. How it does for everyone.
Nino, if we could get off the music thing for a sec. You have... You said you have businesses. Mm. You have at least one other business that I know of that involves mixing drinks. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I own Gaslamp Bartending School, and I own Inland Empire Bartending School. I've been in that industry since I was 18, growing up here.
San Diego. Pouring drinks at 18?
Well, no. When you're 18 to 21, you're like a bar back, you're a busser, security guard. I played football in college and shit. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was 18, I was like 6'4", 225. So most people are like, be a security guard and go beat the shit out of people and get paid money.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, like particularly once I moved across the country, go to college, you know, coach is like, yeah, you can't be beating up people for a job and come here to go to school. Like, which one is it? Are you here to go to school and play sports? Or are you here to just go work at this club with this mob and, you know, do this shit? And I was like, yeah, that's true. I didn't come here to do that. You know, I've been in that shit for a long time. So I got into the bar thing at 21, pretty much, and it's a fun job. You make a ton of money, but when I came, that was in Boston. When I came back home to San Diego, oh my God, it's so much more fun and there's so much more money. And if you're like in that age of like your early 20s in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
I mean, bartending is like one of the funnest jobs you can have. It's very lucrative. And there's a lot of people that do it the wrong way. And like the whole I saw in that industry was just, it was just a lot of ripoffs, a lot of bullshit. So I just said, you know, I figured it out. I got a lot of knowledge.
I remember seeing bartending school commercials on TV.
Like, whack as fuck.
Remember that? Like in the 90s?
Whack ass shit, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's a lot of like scam shit and that kind of stuff.
Cocktail movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people thinking like flares, a thing where you flip bottles up in the air and all that bullshit. Yeah. Like, yo, I've managed like a million bars. If you ever threw a bottle up in the air, I would catch it and fire you in like 1 sec. You wouldn't even be there for, you know, so I do like a realistic training. But what's cool though, it gives me the opportunity to, like when I'm in Inland Empire working on the bartending school, I'm also out there working on like doing Inland Empire shows. So like I got a Riverside. This is actually one more.
So you're doing shows up there?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Totally. Jesus Christ, I almost skipped on this shit.
You're regional as hell.
I'm all over this motherfucker. Yeah. So on the 14th of July, I have a showcase show for SummerSlam in Riverside at Romano's. It's a 21 plus show. It starts at 9 p.m., but it's like 97 minutes. They're probably one of like the bigger bands in IE right now, with like Barrio Slam or whatnot. Just they're killing it. 97 minutes. Nowhere Safe, Legions, Cinderblock, and then we had this band called Veins of Black, which is a newer band, but they just got an injury in the band, so we're bringing another one in. But yeah, so I do shows out there too. So it's like,
oh, wow.
As I work two businesses here, the firm and. In Gaslamp Bartending School, I go up there and I'm still kind of working two businesses, the firm and an Inland Empire Bartending School.
How the fuck did you have time to come here to hang out with us?
Dude, you know what? The great thing is a lot of shit's digital now, so like I don't have like to have be like a public storefront.
You're working from home a lot?
I have three phones, so like I just answer the phone, answer the, you know, emails. I got people that work for me, but I teach a lot of the classes myself.
Yeah, I figured.
But it's a... yeah, it's just something where I'm lucky that it's been around now for long enough. It's been ranked number one in the country since 2017. Yeah, awesome. So I have like people that fly from like, particularly in the summer, it's cool. Like I just had a kid in my last class that flew from Italy just to take my school.
Cool.
And then like, I have like just the whole, like a lot of people from the East Coast. I think it's probably more an excuse to go to San Diego for like 2 weeks.
Sure.
Have fun. Tell your parents you're going to go to some school or some shit, whatever. But, you know, it works and it changes people's lives and makes them financially more stable in a hard and unstable society. So, for me, that's cool.
So, if people want to check out the school, how would they get in contact or look up more information?
Yeah, just go to GaslampBartendingSchool.com or you can go to InlandEmpireBartenderSchool.com. And everything leads there. Obviously, everything on social media and all that stuff's there, too. So... you check out either one of those things. I do consulting for bars. I hate to see people like, you got an 80% chance of going out of business within 3 years.
Sure.
And people put their whole house on the line, like their whole lives on the line, their families. So I know enough about it and I've made enough mistakes in this thing to be like, I can fix this whole thing pretty quick and you won't have to lose out like that hard, you know, on all that stuff for your family and whatnot. And I do staffing, bartender staffing for people. So, and it's cool too. Cause like I'll throw a show at a bar where it's like half the staff is my students and, you know, half the people working for me are students and like, you know, shit like that. So it's
kind of entwines all together, the whole thing.
Oh, so you might have students bartend for you at like shows?
Yeah, all the time. That's cool. Yeah, it's rad.
That's way cool.
I think it's the coolest thing in the world when I see like someone that I just, when I met them, they didn't know their ass from their elbow.
Yeah.
Here they are now just at some crazy show, like 500 people in it, and they're just
pouring drinks,
getting like worked. Yeah, I'm like, dude, you're gonna make so much money. You're in a crazy atmosphere. It's gonna go by in like 2 minutes. I'm like, good for you, man. This is the fun shit, man. It's a great job.
That's sweet. Do you have any other businesses you'd like to plug?
No, thank God. Okay. no, the firm and the two schools is enough for me, and yeah, it keeps me busy and keeps everyone happy.
All right. Well, you know, I appreciate you coming out here. I really do. And I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you for having me.
And it's to me, like, it's really cool to get to know you more.
Yeah. Thank you. You as well, man. Definitely.
Yeah. You're a very nice guy. And I can tell, like, with the music and the stuff you're doing, your heart's in the right place.
Thanks, man. I try, man.
Well, I appreciate it. And all right, everybody. We're, like, about 100 people away from subscribing to 1,000, so if you're watching this long, you might as well hit like subscribe. So for Vince, for Brian, for Nino, thank you all.